Almost Friday.
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 Almost Friday. I woke up Monday morning to the sound of my clock radio. At least, I thought it was my clock radio. After pounding on the snooze button several times to no effect, it occurred to me that the alarm sounded unusually loud and unfamiliar. Glancing at the clock, I noticed the time at 4:37 a.m. and sat upright to identify the noise. That's when I caught a whiff of the smoke. I snapped the bedlight lamp on and noticed the tint of smoke rolling in from the hallway outside the bedroom. A brief panic took over, but I managed to keep my cool and grab a few essential items, my wallet, a small photo album, and a well-worn robe, before throwing open the window and clambering out onto the fire escape. Unfamiliar with its workings and still trying to put my robe on in my dazed pre-morning confusion, I fumbled around looking for the release for the ladder. Finally, it fell. I climbed down to the street from the second floor and wandered to the front of the building in my bare feet to consider my next step. I had this security system installed last year when the death threats for my Eat Baby Chickens ad campaign went south. They tied in the smoke alarm to the fire department, so I had no doubt that I would see the fire truck soon. Suddenly, I thought about my elderly neighbor, Mrs. Thomas. We sometimes shared breakfast together when I had time before work, and I was worried that she might not awaken to the alarm that was only wired in my apartment. I ran back in the front door and up the stairs to our shared landing, and was surprised to find Mrs. Thomas there with her door open. She had a large towel in her hands and was waving it about in the smoke that was billowing from her apartment.
"Oh, did the smoke wake you, Jack? I was cooking a turkey and left it on a bit too long. I'm sorry."
I stood there in my open robe and underwear, trying half to comprehend why anyone would need to cook a turkey at 4 a.m., and half how to answer her question politely, when a firefighter pushed past me in full gear with a battering ram, yelling,
"Everybody out!"
I got to see the hinges on my front door splinter as they dragged us back out to the curb.
I stumbled into the lobby at work around 7:30 with the biggest cup of coffee in my hand that you've ever seen. I never get in that early. Morning events seem to have encouraged me to arrive on time for once. On my way to the elevator past the front desk, the blonde bimbo of the week looked up from her girly magazine.
"And you are?"
she asked, standing up as if to prevent me from proceeding. I'm Jack Collins." My mind was a little bleary, but hers was empty. "I work here."
"Oh."
She sat back down and continued reading. I waited for my elevator and hoped nobody posing as an advertising consultant tried to enter the building. Upon reaching the third floor, I walked straight to my cube, determined to get in a couple of games of mindless solitaire before I was accosted by Ashby about the Lemon Sol account. She had bugged me all week about them, saying,
"You should really have a look. This is your forte."
Did she even know what a forte was? Lara was already in.
"You're early this morning."
Man, her voice always sent chills up my spine. Good one. "Yeah, my neighbor set her turkey on fire. Long story."
"There's a meeting at 8,
she said.
"See you there."
I sat at my desk and checked the status of my desk cactus. Ah, green. A moment of zen. I booted up and watched the spam from the weekend flood my account as I flooded my body with caffeine. I was only 2 minutes early for the meeting, and all the seats in the conference room were already occupied. I took a spot in the back of the room near the coffee maker. The stupid thing was empty. At the front of the room stood a tall, wide man in a dated blue suit. John Roberts is the partner that doesn't often show up at work, preferring to remain quietly behind the scenes, soaking in the power that accompanies being an advertising executive. His power is also known as all the profit. A couple of stragglers entered, and Roberts called the meeting to order.
"I'd like to thank everyone for coming on such short notice at such an early hour. Let me get started by congratulating everyone on the Monroe account for an utterly terrific job."
Ashby blushed and her flunkies all nodded appreciation for the applause that ensued.
"Also, I would like to announce that our new internship program will begin today. So if you see any new faces in the halls around the office, be sure to greet them and show them the ropes. Okay. Now on to the bad news. As you know, the economy has been a bit sluggish lately, and everyone's been affected by it. Since we haven't received the number of accounts that we usually do around this time of year, we're running a little underfunded. We've tried to keep things normal for the last month, but I'm afraid that time has come to an end."
Uh-oh, this is going to be bad.
rather than start layoffs, I want to assure everyone that we're a team and motivated to keep our team together. So everyone is going to bear the burden. Starting with our next pay period, everyone will see a pay cut of 10% in their paychecks. Hopefully this won't be for more than a few a month until we get a new influx of clients that we expect to see around this time of year. I'm afraid that's the situation.
Oh, great. It seemed that everyone else in the room was about as happy as I was.
We will understand if you can't afford this loss in pay, and hope that you will give us notice if you decide to seek employment elsewhere. If you have any questions, please see me personally after the meeting. Thank you, everyone.
I was about to return to my desk and contemplate what this pay cut would mean to my salary, when I heard Robert say,
Collins, I need to see you in my office, if you please.
Every eye was suddenly turned in my direction. Was I to be the first to get canned? Oh, crap. Out of coffee. Deep in the bowels of the upper management offices, I found myself looking around for Roberts. I figured that the office of the top man in the company would have been bigger. Instead, I ended up in an office only about 8 times bigger than my apartment. Inside, Roberts was sitting behind his desk, scribbling something on a notepad. I took the only chair near his desk and glanced around the spacious room. Two walls of his fourth-floor office were windows covered with thick blinds, making the place almost, well, dark. I felt lucky to have my cube near a window, and this guy had his desk arranged to be completely out of any stray light. There were some rumors back when I started at Roberts & Watson that Roberts was some kind of vampire. The rumor came from his reputation of never being in the office during the day, and was fed by the company lacking mirrors and other silly speculation that was forced to fit the rumor. Nobody really took it seriously, but now I was forced to wonder.
Jack, I hope you're not taking the news of the pay cut so hard.
Oh man, here it comes. No, sir, I think I'll manage. I might have to make a few sacrifices, but I think I can tough it out. The truth was, I wasn't really sure yet how I was going to survive for a month with a 10% loss in pay.
That's good, that's good. Listen, you were at the meeting when I was talking about the intern program.
Suddenly, I knew there was a good reason why I never came into work early. I told him yes.
Well, I'd like to match you up with, Tanya here.
Roberts gestured toward the corner of the room farthest from the windows. Sitting there in a chair in the dark was a tall blonde girl, maybe a freshman in college. She was wearing 4-inch heels and a pink skirt made from the sewn-together skins of 2 microscopic organisms. Her blouse left only one thing to the imagination, where she had done her last pole dance.
I want you to take her around the office and show her the ropes. She'll be under your supervision while she's here. Give her some of your busy work if you think she can handle it.
I think I twitched a little, maybe blinked. In an instant, Tanya was out of her seat and shaking my hand.
Hi, it's a pleasure to meet you, Mr. Cullen, sir. I've always wanted to work in an advertising firm, at least since I gave up my dream of being a model. They told me I needed too much work, but I fooled them because now I'm going to be hanging out with one of the best advertisers in the business. I have all sorts of ideas to try, so if you need anything, please let me know.
Can I vomit now?
The first thing I thought I'd do is take a look at where we'd be working and try to reorganize things to make them just a little more efficient. Efficiency gets things done, as they say.
Yes, I think you two have a lot to talk about. I'll check in on you in a few days and see how things are going. Okay.
I walked out of Robert's office in a slump, with yammering college chick in tow. It took a great deal of self-control to keep from finding the nearest window and flinging Tanya out of it onto the street below. She just wouldn't shut up. She said something about telephones and something about clotheslines, and even asked if I thought that she had come to work dressed too formally. Look, I finally said, go down that hall and find me a coffee machine. Dispense coffee in a cup and bring it to my cube. Don't get any for yourself, for pity's sake, because I'm going to be giving you a ton of papers to file, and they're not friendly to coffee.
Okay, Mr. Collins, do you take your coffee with cream and sugar, or do you take it just black? I'm asking because my mother takes it with cream and no sugar, and the one time I made it with her with just sugar, and she totally flipped out on me like it was the end of the world, which reminds me of when my friend Tammy once asked out Greg, her manager at the PacSun at the mall, and she totally flipped out on her and got her fired, and I totally don't want to be fired on my
Tanya.
First day, if you know what I mean.
Tanya! Look, just go get the coffee, okay? I need to make some calls. She turned with determination and set off in the direction opposite of the coffee maker, thanks to my ingenious misdirection. Hopefully if I had to suffer with this burden, I could at least have her spirit broken by the end of the week. I finally returned to my cube, where Lara was waiting for me.
So?
She asked. I'm the new babysitter for the intern, I told her. If you see a girl with a rubber band around her waist for clothing, tell her my cube is on another floor. As I sat down, Lara tapped a file folder she was holding with her index finger and handed it to me.
Lemon song,
she said, and returned to her cube.
Ugh, Ashby.
Looks like I have to do her dirty work for her after all. Who wants to write ads for a home cleanser? Actually, I wasn't even sure what lemon salt was.
Oh, by the way,
Lara yelled over the cube wall.
Someone named Betty Thomas called for you. She says that she's done cleaning the smoke smell out of your place.
Oh dear. Thankfully, thinking about my place brought another topic to mind. The pay cut. How was I going to pay the rent next month and pay for food? They were barely paying me enough to afford living expenses as it is. Then an idea dawned on me. I logged into my computer to search for a classified website. Sitting in the foreground, an email window popped out at me. The sender was anonymous, but the message was clear.
I hope you die, you chicken-eating servant of the man!
Whatever. I closed it and logged into the classifieds to find a new, hopefully temporary, roommate. I was hoping my place was still in one piece after Mrs. Thomas had gotten through with it, especially after the firefighters. I spent lunch at a small sandwich place chatting with my best bud, Bob. I hoped to guilt him into breaking our unspoken rule about becoming roommates, at least for the duration of this pay change. He listened intently to my fire alarm story, about Tanya, the blubbering intern, and finally the pay cut. But when I suggested that he move in to share some of the rent, he resisted. No way, good buddy. Us living together would be like, you know, the end of a good thing. You don't mess with friendships like ours. Yeah, I knew it to be true. Still, I wasn't convinced the classified ad was going to pan out. Bob felt otherwise. Nah, by the time you get back to the office, you'll have 50 applicants waiting to pull up a squat at your place. Just you wait. The idea of anyone squatting on my place didn't sound all that appealing. Just make sure you screen everyone before you let anyone move in. Yeah, okay. I mean, I intend to. You can't just have any old person off the street move into the place where you sleep. There are crazies out there. Not just the crazies. Bob got conspiratorial. If Bob didn't get conspiratorial at least once in our conversations, it was a sign of the end of days. You gotta look out for the really normal ones, too. You know, the kind that your mom would want living with you. I mean, you wouldn't want Mama's boy around when you're trying to score with the ladies. Maybe he had something there. A sure sign to look out for is someone who moves his clothes in a suitcase. They're the worst. You will rue the day! Rue the day! Bob took the remaining half of my sandwich and stuffed it in his mouth, then glided out of the restaurant with his arms straight out like wings. Maybe it's better he didn't take me up on that roommate offer. Still, I had to find someone who could laugh off smoke alarms at 4 a.m. Just then, my cell phone rang. It was Tanya. How'd she get my cell phone number? I just let my phone take a message. I drank the rest of my cola, then I dialed the answering system.
Sorry to call you at lunch, Mr. Collins, but there were some messages for you on the fax machine here at the office, and some of the girls were hoping you would be around to collect them because they're really starting to stack up, and I told them that I would take care of it, but now they're piled all over your desk, and still there's more coming in, so if you could just come back to the office and maybe do something about all of this, then maybe I could stop standing by the fax and get some lunch, okay? Hello? Mr. Collins? Mr. Collins?
Great. What now? Tanya actually proved to be not too incompetent at reorganizing the applicants for the apartment that came in by fax, as long as you could ignore her yammering. I hadn't thought about the fax number too much when I filled out the form online. It had simply asked for a fax number in addition to the email, and so I put in the number for Roberts and Watson. I hadn't actually figured that so many people would be interested. Tanya was shocked that the amount I was asking for the room at my place was so low. She said she might have considered taking me up on the rental offer if we weren't in a boss-intern relationship. Yeah. After we had organized the faxes into callback, maybe, and hell no piles, I checked my email to see if there were any online responses yet. Holy cow! My box was filled! This was going to take Tanya a little longer than she had planned. While she worked on that, I flipped through the folder on LemonSol. As it turned out, the LemonSol account wasn't just something that Ashby was trying to throw away. It had the potential to be a real earner for the firm. Combined with a couple of other accounts like it, Tanya could stop sifting through potential roommates. My pay would be back to normal, and I wouldn't need a roommate to pay half the rent. Hey, Laura, did you look at this?
I yelled over the cube wall while sitting on the floor.
Hmm?
She asked quizzically. This lemon sol account looks great. Why is it such a hot potato?
Check out the name of the corporate liaison.
Oh no. Tony Chung. I had dealt with Chung once before in an unfortunate attempt to get this ill-fated guzzler product to market. These so-called water-powered cars were attractive looking to our test audience, and they did in fact require water to run, but all the water did was close a circuit for the internal batteries, which they found very misleading. Chung canceled our services when we refused to produce a commercial without the words, "requires two AA batteries." They would have sued the toy maker if we hadn't, and then we would have been sued. And instead of just adding the little info blurb, Chung pulled the account and took it across town. And now he was working for Lemon Sol. Not good.
Mr. Collins' office.
Tanya had apparently hooked some kind of headset to my desk phone. I didn't even know they could do that.
One moment, please. Mr. Collins, there is a Henry Jacobs on the phone who wishes to speak with you about the apartment for rent. Did you wish to speak with him or should I take a message?
Shocked that she actually paused speaking to wait for a reply, it took me a moment to tell her to take a message. I was going to have to change that classified ad or no work was ever going to get done around the office. Henry Jacobs got an earful as Tanya described every minute detail of every place she's ever lived and how it compared to my description of the room for rent. I put in a call to the contact number on the Lemon Sol account and got an appointment to see Tony Chung before the end of the day. The meeting was across town, and maybe I should have thought it through a bit more, but I decided to take Tanya with me. We were in the taxi across town when I noticed Tanya looking a little concerned and straightening out her microskirt. Is there something wrong? I asked. Suddenly, Tanya burst into tears.
I'm sorry, Mr. Collins. I don't usually get so emotional on the job, but while I was getting ready to go, some of the ladies at the office cornered me and gave me an ultimatum about my clothes and how I shouldn't be wearing something so revealing to the office and how if I came in like this tomorrow, they were going to say something to Mr. Roberts about it, but I just wanted to look nice for my first day of work and I thought I did my best, and it turns out I was all wrong, just all wrong.
She sobbed and suddenly buried her head in my shoulder. I sat still, kind of dumbfounded. Sure, this girl was a little off, but not quite as badly off as she could have been, and she certainly didn't deserve to be ganged up on. The cabbie looked back at us in the rear view and made some strange gesture for me to comfort her. I hesitantly put my hand on her shoulder and reluctantly told her that she, looked fine, but maybe not so much for work. She sat up and heeded my words. It was very unusual for someone to be this readily submissive to my authority. Look, just get a few nice suit skirt things, maybe something that covers a little more. She looked like she was taking mental notes, like actually writing something down in her head. She took a tissue from a purse that I didn't see her hiding and cleaned herself up a little. I just think those girls at the office are jealous of your youth, I told her, uncharacteristically trying to cheer her up. She smiled. I just hope she didn't have a tape recorder. By the time we arrived at Chung's office complex and I paid the cabbie, Tanya was her usual bubbly self again. Maybe I shouldn't have been so pleasant. We were ushered through their gorgeously ornate lobby by a surprisingly non-daft receptionist. Why does it seem like everyone else always has it better than I do? I mean, nicer surroundings, better pay, more competent co-workers. Sometimes I think that a pay cut is just the impetus I need to get off my butt and find a new job. Before I could give that any more thought, we had arrived at Tony Chung's conference room. I had finally come to my senses about Tanya. This was her first day. She had been put down by all the women in our office. Now she was being thrown into an important account dealing with the worst liaison ever. I mean, she was just crying on my shoulder. I thought that maybe she should be eased into it more. Tanya, listen, I'd like you to just wait outside here.
Collins!
The voice of Tony Chung called out behind me. I could hear his quick-paced footsteps slamming down the fibers in the carpet.
Collins, good to see you again. I hope this time we can be more agreeable.
Yes, Mr. Chung, it's a pleasure to be doing business with you again. I tried to hold back the bile and was forced to stifle the image of coating his $500 suit jacket in my half-sandwich from lunch.
And who is this beauty?
I stepped in quickly before Tanya had a chance to speak. This is Tanya Evermere, a new intern at Roberts & Watson. She just started today, so take it easy on her, Tony. Chung didn't seem to be listening anymore.
Ah, Tanya, a gorgeous name.
He took her hand and kissed the back.
A pleasure to meet your acquaintance, miss.
Tanya blushed. I'm sure her current appearance did something to enhance her effect on Chung, and I wasn't sure if I should do something or let it slide. So should we talk about Lemon Sol?
Ah yes, Lemon Sol.
He produced a file from his briefcase and handed it to me without looking at it. Inside, there were a few standard contracts. Usually you didn't get this far without discussing something about the product they wanted delivered. Chung seemed to be making googly eyes at Tanya, who seemed like she was at least playing along. As I stood in the hallway and flipped through the papers, some of which included confidential information about advertising budgeting, they whispered their own little conversation to each other. Excuse me, but can we discuss what your client wants delivered?
For heaven's sake, man, it's all right there. Sign the papers and be off. Tanya and I have plans for the ballet this evening.
They walked away hand in hand, and I nearly dropped the $23 million contract. Now all I had to do was figure out what lemon saw is. I almost didn't go back to the office, but then I figured that if I didn't, then it would be another day before I could choose from the roommate applicants. I set the pile of callbacks on the end of my bed and started from the top. Henry Jacobs. That name sounded familiar. Oh yeah, that phone message from earlier. His credentials seemed pretty good. Unlike many of the other guys who applied, this one actually held a steady 9-to-5 corporate job, did not smoke, and did not list a member of the parole board as a reference. I made a note of his name and number and looked through the rest of the pile. Maybe my mind was still in a daze from today's events, or perhaps I was dizzy from the lingering smoke smell, but I just couldn't concentrate on this right now. Tanya had thoughtfully put little red stars on a few of the pages, presumably her picks of the bunch. I figured that if she could help pull off the contract with Tommy Chung, she's gotta be good luck. I pulled out a few of the starred applications at random and set them in the pile with Henry's. When I finally laid back in bed, I fell almost instantly to sleep and dreamed about giant boxes of lemon saw being used by children to run pine box derbies. In the morning, my alarm went off, normally. I showered and such, then stopped at Picasso's Cafe for the prearranged breakfast meeting with Bob. Bob was curious to hear if I had gotten many responses to my classified ad, and wasn't surprised to hear that I had gotten hundreds. "I told you it would work out," he said. "Now out of those hundreds you got, how many look good?" "About 5. Bob laughed. "Well, don't give up too easily. Be sure you pick the right guy to live with." This whole thing may be moot anyway," I told him. He raised his eyebrow curiously as he reached over to steal my muffin. "Yeah, I think I may have landed a $23 million account. It should end all of Roberts and Watson's current money problems."
"No way, who is it?"
"Lemon Saw. Ever heard of him?"
"Yeah. I think I've seen some of the boxes of their stuff at the cleaners. Not sure what it's for, though."
Bob wasn't being a lot of help here. Well, I had some personal issues to attend to with his roommate business, and I was determined to get something done on this lemon salt thing so that if Tanya's spell on Chung fell through, there would at least be a product to fall back on. On the way out, I ordered another coffee and wondered what Tanya would wear to work today as I climbed into a yellow cab.